from KCRW. I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
I want to produce really funny, inspirational projects, movies, live stage plays. I'm going to work with Leonardo DiCaprio. He's going to try to get me pregnant. I'm going to be like, I can't, Leo. I'm sorry. I can't have babies right now.
Earlier this summer, Tiffany Haddish delivered a breakout performance in the raunchy hit comedy Girls Trip, and her appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live went viral. Haddish says stardom has already changed her life, and she has big plans for where she goes from here. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Haddish and Girls Trip director Malcolm D. Lee. He tells us about making movies with African-American casts that can cross over to all audiences, and Haddish pitches her idea for Girls Trip 2 in South Africa. But first on the news banter, say it ain't so. John Lasseter, stay tuned. It's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my fellow pilgrim in banter, Richard Rushfield, editor-in-chief of The Ankler. Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So we're not actually in our post-turkey or post-tofu-turkey, tryptophan haze yet. So we're going to try and stay alert, even though the news has been exhausting. The Harvey Weinstein scandal continues to have reverberating effects. We've had a couple of one on each coast, a couple of big figures go down in allegations, one of which was Charlie Rose, who's been fired by CBS and PBS and is basically his show is gone. Very stunning fall, although I wouldn't say his reputation was unknown, as is often the case. And here, a much better kept secret, I think, outside of the animation community, John Lasseter, which is a story that I broke this past week. So one of the interesting things about the Charlie Rose situation, you know, we're not getting animators from Pixar, Disney Animation publicly talking about the shock or the exultation maybe, or however they're reacting to the John Lasseter news. But Norah O'Donnell and Gail King on the CBS Morning Show had to go on the air. You know, they have a job to do, and they had to deal with these Charlie Rose allegations. And so you can hear the shock and the distress that they basically exhibited to a national audience. I'm just going to play a little clip of Gail King.
I have to say, Norah, I really am still reeling. I got an hour and 42 minutes of sleep last night. Both my son and my daughter called me. Oprah called me and said, are you okay? I am not okay.
She is not okay. And, you know, it's heartbreaking when someone who was so talented and had the kind of gravitas that Charlie Rose had just disappears.
It's astonishing how literally every single day we are finding another person who was part of our life and is now going away from the public space here.
Yeah. And I think when you see something as instantaneous as the Charlie Rose downfall, you feel like they kind of knew there was potentially a problem. Maybe they even knew more than that. You know, that's going to be a huge question in all of these cases, I think, coming in the days ahead. Were there settlements? Are they confidential? So you saw at CBS, they dropped Charlie Rose like a hot brick. And then at Disney, they're trying something that no one has yet attempted, which is to say that John Lasseter is on a six-month they're calling it a sabbatical.
Yeah, well, with John Lasseter, I mean, people like Brett Ratner are important, but the industry goes on without them.
I would actually even say not that important.
I'll go along with that.
Okay.
But John Lasseter is perhaps the most valuable player in all of Hollywood, perhaps worth more to Hollywood than any actor or star or director around. I mean, just think of what Pixar and Disney Animation has created, and to just lose him. If he were struck by lightning tomorrow, that could be billions off their stock price overnight. So I think this is one where they're going to try to minimize these charges and do anything they can to find a route back for him, where he's gone to rehab, he went on walkabout, he searched his soul, and now he has changed and ready to come back.
I think calling it a sabbatical is something, you know, these are risky times to sort of say it's a sabbatical, because there are, in these cases, almost always other accusers that are waiting in the wings. So when you say sabbatical, that is a thing like you get when you've earned a break because of your wonderful teaching skills or publishing skills or whatever. So yeah, and then they're trying to minimize the whole thing by saying he hugged. You know, he's a hugger, and he is a known hugger, but it's clearly more than that, you know, based on the reporting, not just by me, but by other subsequent pieces that came after we broke that story at Hollywood Reporter. So they're almost provoking other people to want to come forward. And I am getting contacted by people. Whether any of it's worth following, I don't know. But I'm saying that's a risky game.
Yeah, this is the first time where the corporate spin is really trying to keep him alive. He is such a valuable player. And, of course, Pixar has a movie coming out this week. The big Pixar film of the year, Coco, comes out now.
as we speak.
Is in theaters. And this is not the way that Disney wanted to have their opening weekend go.
No, it was my understanding when I was reporting the piece that they just really wanted to stall, if they could, until after this movie opened. And I don't think that was something that, you know, we were not on the same schedule. And I know other publications were chasing it. So, we were not the only ones that were leaning on them to come up with answers. But you're right about the spin that what they're trying to do is not answer these things on the record. Because as executives at a public company, you cannot lie about something significant, as certainly as significant as John Lasseter and these important questions that are still out there. And what we're finding when we report these stories is these spokespeople go off the record and try to say something off the record that may not be true, and then they don't want to go on the record because they have to tell the truth on the record about important matters. Do you think – I mean, people are asking me if they think Coco will be affected. I have to say I don't think so.
I can't imagine that this news is going to – percolate down so much that family audiences that need a place to take their kids this weekend
are desperate to take their kids.
Exactly. It's the only family movie, and it's a very good one, despite his behavior, that it's going to have that big an impact. However, it doesn't help, and it's certainly a distraction from what they're doing
there. Yeah, it's not optimal timing. Let me just pivot quickly to AT&T. Sure enough, the Justice Department has gone to court to block the $85 billion acquisition of Time Warner. It's kind of weird because there are a lot of people in the consumer rights world who feel like this should be blocked, but they don't like the smell of political interference by Trump because of his loathing of CNN.
It's all a huge mess. It's as you say, there have been a lot of people on the left who have called for this, but it just seems very odd. And on the other end of it, AT&T and Time Warner seem to do nothing to prepare for the possibility that this might happen. So everything in the company was built up towards this happening by now, and now they're at best on ice for an unlimited amount of time now.
Clearly AT&T is ready to go to court to fight for this deal. We'll see if that works. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
That's Richard Rushfield, editor-in-chief of The Ankler. Girls Trip, the breakout R-rated comedy hit of the summer, follows four best friends who met in college but have drifted apart in recent years. As the movie begins, they have decided to reconnect by heading to New Orleans for a weekend of fun. The members of the so-called Flossy Posse are played by Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and someone whose name few would have recognized before Girls Trip, Tiffany Haddish. Until now, she was probably best known for a recurring role as Nakisha on the now-canceled NBC series The Carmichael Show. In Girls Trip, Haddish plays Dina, who is still the crazy one, ready to party from the moment the Flossy Posse gets on the plane.
Okay, now here's what I want. Let me get three shots of whiskey with a Coke to chase. Coke Zero, though. I'm watching my figure.
Dina, you know this is only an hour flight.
Oh, well then in that case, let me go ahead and get those three shots now, and then bring me a shot of Bailey's once we get into cruising altitude.
We have another guest today, Malcolm D. Lee, who directed Girls Trip. His past films include The Best Man in 1999 and its 2013 follow-up, The Best Man Holiday, as well as Barbershop, The Next Cut. All right, so you two, have you ever met before you made this film?
Yes, we did. In fact, I will tell you, I had seen her on The Carmichael Show. I was doing a pilot on the Fox lot, and I saw her walking around. And then I was at my premiere of Barbershop, The Next Cut. I get out of my car to walk the red carpet, and here's Tiffany Haddish, and she turns around. She goes, "Hey, I'm going to be in your next movie." True story.
Yep. That's how I get all my jobs. I plant a seed in that person's brain, and then I reappear months later.
That's a good strategy.
And it worked.
It worked.
Absolutely.
Except you didn't go like directly. Let's be honest. You did try a lot of people for that role.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Kenya Barris and Tracy Oliver wrote a tremendous part in Dina, and we knew we wanted to have somebody great in that role that could, you know, not only deliver what was on the page, but also be inventive with improv. And of all the people that we were considering, I would always go back to Tiffany's tape, and she was always the one that made me laugh.
I can't even, I mean, she's so intensely great in the movie that you feel like you just look at her and go, yes.
Well, she was destined to play the part. You know, sometimes roles are like that. You don't know who can do it or who will do it, who will embody it. You know, you may have people in mind, but Tiffany Haddish comes in and she just embodied that spirit of who Dina was and also fit very well with the rest of the Flossy Posse, who we had cast prior, you know, with Regina Hall and Queen Latifah. And
I think Regina was the first, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And then, you know, with Latifah and Jada, you know, it was like, okay, who's going to be able to fill out this fourth in this quartet?
And then I started to pray. There was a lot of prayer.
I mean, were you not a little intimidated by the iconic names?
No, because I wanted to work with them so then they could be like, I want her to be my friend. That's what right, I just felt like in my mind. They would meet me and be like, she's so crazy, I want her to be my friend. I wanted to give them an opportunity to meet me. No, hell no, I really want to meet them. And I was super excited, but I was not intimidated.
Good for you. You know, I will mention, Tiffany's about 10 years younger than the others. And everybody looks great, but was that a factor in your head? Like, 10
well,
years
yeah,
younger?
You know, we considered that. But at the same time, even though she's younger than them, she still seemed to fit that
I mean, they're
group.
Supposed to be college friends.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that...
You were a prodigy. You were in college.
I was a genius. Yes. That's the thing y'all don't know. See, we didn't get to Dina's backstory on how she went to college at 12.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I don't think we really had to... because she fit so well with the women, we didn't have to do a whole bunch of explaining on that. It was like, okay, she's just with this group. And it's a testament to those women also who look amazing for their age. You know, they're beautiful women.
It works. It totally, obviously, is a total crowd pleaser. A+ cinema score, that's not a common thing.
Well, you know, it's not. You're right. You know, I felt like from the time that we started test screenings, we knew that we had something pretty special. We knew that audiences were, I mean, they were laughing hysterically from the outset with this movie. And I think in a large part of it, you know, was because they haven't seen anything like this with black women at the core doing the things that they did. Being so free, being so open, being as they are, as they see themselves. And so I think for a lot of the audience, it was a revelation, you know, like, wow. Like, I mean, I literally, people would stand up and like spin around in place because they just could not believe what they were seeing. So am I surprised we got an A+ cinema score? I don't know. Maybe. I know that it's a movie that works for audiences. I know that they really loved it. And so it's a beautiful thing. I'm very happy that people are embracing it the way they are.
Look, he was talking about the test screenings, right?
Yes.
And they didn't tell us that these tests were happening, but I knew something was really good about the movie because people were hitting me up on Facebook like, don't tell nobody, but I just saw Girl Strip and it was so good, girl. You killed it. You finna blow up. And I was like, what happened? Like, people I used to go to school with was hitting me up. People I ain't heard from in years. And it's crazy.
I know that you don't like it when people say you stole the movie.
Yeah, because I don't steal.
But
you know,
I
from where I'm
say,
from, if somebody tell you you stole something, that's like, that's not nice.
That's fighting not words. Nice.
Yeah. So
but it's a compliment.
Me. I know it's y'all mean a good, but it bothers me.
I just will say, without using that word, like, as I was watching the movie, I was like, something is going on. A star is born.
Aw, thanks.
Without
I mean, you
doubt.
Were already... known, but this is a whole, right? Can you feel a difference already? It's a different level of thing.
Oh, well, yeah, there's huge difference. Like when I wake up in the morning and it's like 150 text messages, and then like, I'm like, who are all these people texting me? And then like Malcolm hit me up, hey, John Singleton wants to talk to you. Old showrunners that I've worked with are like, hey, can we sit down and talk about TV show ideas, movie ideas, this and that? And like all these people are calling me and I'm like, I'm not available, you guys. I'm busy. I'm sorry. And I'm just trying to get some sleep because
okay.
I've been partying. So I'm busy enjoying life.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I will stay here for a minute. You come from a difficult background.
Mm-hmm.
I read you were in foster care for a time. You were trying to take care of your siblings at a super, super young, what, 10 years old?
Yeah, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's a big burden for a child.
But I was okay. I wasn't the best mom. But, you know, for a 9-year-old, I was all right. Everybody ate. Nobody starved.
So you did that, and then a social worker, I guess you were kind of cutting up in school.
Yeah, I was cutting up. I was talking a lot. I was trying to be funny because they sent me to a school out in the valley.
Right. And, you were from South Central and you ended up in the Valley. Yeah, I guess, why did that? Because of foster care? Or why was that?
No, because my mom had put me in a choices program right before we got taken. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to fit in, really. So I started like making up imaginary friends, and I would make the kids laugh in the middle of class. I was trying to make friends because I seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And there was a part in the movie where the detective says to the rabbit, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he said, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. And I was like, that's it. That's how I'm going to get these white kids to be my friend. They're going to help me do my homework. They're going to do it. Like, I'm going to eat lunch all the time for free. Like, and it did work out like that. People was letting me copy their homework. And they would, like, give me the answers to tests. And maybe
you
I was
were
cheating
it.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they was giving me their extra coffee cakes. And give me their lunch tickets.
So who told you to go? Somebody sent you to comedy camp.
Yeah, so my social worker was getting tired. She was getting called up to the school all the time. And she was like, look, you got two choices this summer. You can go to Laugh Factory Comedy Camp, or you can go to psychiatric therapy because something is wrong with you. And I was like, well, let's go to this comedy camp.
And when you went there, did you feel like I am now where I should be?
When I went there, I remember the very first day, Charles Fleischer.
Oh, Roger
the
Rabbit's voice.
The guy that did the voice of Roger Rabbit was there the first day, and I thought this was the most magical day. Like, this is God.
Wow.
And I was on stage, and we were just supposed to tell something we thought was funny. So I talked about how when you go to a public restroom, when there's old ladies in the restroom, they always make noise. They always like, So at the end of it, he goes, you're really pretty girl. You're very pretty girl. And he does it in the voice of Roger Rabbit. No need to do the potty humor.
Oh, he schooled you.
I was like, I don't care. I think that's funny.
Well, fortunately, because you had a grapefruit in your future.
Yeah.
Because that is some of the raunchiest
that
thing.
Part.
And he seemed worse than what y'all saw.
Well, listen, the grapefruit whole thing was just, she tried. She tried really hard. And then she just did it. With reckless abandon, no holds barred. And,
I should say, for the very raunchy scene involving a sex act with a grapefruit.
Yeah, she's been just showing, you know, trying to help relationships out.
Trying to be a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, help men and women in their, you know, relationships.
This doesn't exist. I haven't Googled it. Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's
it is
a,
actually
yeah.
a thing. It is
yes,
actually a thing.
It's an actual thing. There's a lady named Auntie Angel that made this video like back in 2012. Doing it.
Who knew that?
Well, it wasn't Kenya came up with that one.
Okay,
it was,
we're going to get Kenya
it was a
in the clear on this.
Uncredited writer. He does not want credit for putting the grapefruit in the movie.
Why not?
Yeah, listen, I'd say it. Funny
it's
is funny.
So funny. It's so funny because the lady who put that video out in 2012 had somebody hit me up talking about, yeah, you trying to steal Auntie Angel's thing. And I was like, first off, never said it was mine. Never said I created it. Now, if they had put a fruit roll-up around that thing, that's mine. Okay, fruit by the foot, that's me. Okay, don't stop till all the fruit roll up gone. That's me. Okay, the grapefruit thing, that's her. And
that's
that was
the
a
sequel.
Part of the
Make note,
I did it.
Malcolm.
Fruit roll up. Fruit roll up. Yeah. What flavor?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Coming up after a short break, Girls Trip star Tiffany Haddish and director Malcolm D. Lee explain that when Diddy pulls you up on stage, you don't think, you just go. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. We're revisiting our conversation with Tiffany Haddish and director Malcolm D. Lee about their movie, Girls Trip, which is now available to stream or on DVD. For Haddish, the film has delivered the overnight stardom that took years to achieve. It's fair to say that she more than holds her own alongside actresses Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, and Jada Pinkett Smith. Even people who haven't seen the movie were charmed by Haddish's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live when she told the story of bringing Will and Jada Pinkett Smith along on a swamp tour she booked through Groupon during a break in filming in Louisiana.
Jada's looking and she goes, Tiffany, what is going on here? Why is there so many people? And I said, Jada, they probably all got Groupons. And she said, Tiffany, what the was a Groupon.
Oh, wow. She didn't know, yeah.
And I said, Jada, what do you think a Groupon is? She said, I thought it meant you had a boat that you could take a group of people on. And I was like, Jada, I got a $20 a day rental car. Why would I have my own boat?
Director Malcolm D. Lee dared to shoot key sequences in Girls Trip during the Real Life Essence Festival, which was underway in New Orleans. Which has to be logistically, like, how in the world can you do that?
It was a real challenge. We knew that we were going to be a lot of cameras and handheld, and we had to get permission of not only Essence and make an agreement with them, plus you had security issues with, you know, somebody like Queen Latifah and Jada, because, you know, celebrities attend that event every year, and it's always kind of a mob scene. People get very excited. They want to take pictures. They want to get autographs, what have you. So we're trying to have our actors be characters in the movie and not their real selves.
People screaming
out their name, all that kind of stuff. You know, but I wanted to make sure that we had a very immersive experience for the audience to make them feel like they were there. We had to get, you know, permission from musical artists as well to not only shoot them, but potentially have our actors interact with them and our cameras and their
Tiffany,
face.
For example.
Tiffany with Diddy. I'll tell you a story about that. But we wanted to make sure that we were shooting in the actual dome and during a performance. So, like, you know, when at the height of a performance. So, you know, it was logistically very, very tough. And that was at the beginning of our schedule. And kind of all of our pre-production efforts were geared towards that. And then we had to shoot the rest of the movie, which was
But there was so, I mean, there's so many cameos. I guess having the festival enabled that in a way, right?
Yeah, we had to, not only do we have to get permission from Essence, but we have to get permission from each one of those people as well.
Because you're also potentially using their sound.
Using their sound, using their image.
Did anybody say, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had some people that didn't want to participate. Just fine. They might regret it now.
Yeah, and they probably kicking themselves in the butt like, dang, I should have let her die, man.
Were you imagining a life where you're dancing on stage with Diddy?
Girl, yes. That's something I've wanted to do all my life.
Someday.
This is not a joke. This is something I wanted to do. And when I read it in the script, I was like, yes! God is good! God is like, this is your year, baby. You're going to get all your dreams, everything. You're going to get it.
And I tell you, that was a very spontaneous moment. I mean, you know.
She is wearing, just a visual, not much.
Yeah. It's a very short dress. And all we really wanted Diddy to do was give us a kind of a reaction to her.
Like he's going to look
him.
At her. And yeah. She flashes him.
She flashes him and
you know.
Has pasties on. And so we thought, okay, he'll give us a look and we're good. And he said, well, I might invite them up on stage. We're like, okay, that'll be fine. So when he reaches for her, it is literally a 7-foot speaker.
Yes.
That she has to, and she just said, I'm going. And so she put her hand
really?
And
I'm shocked.
Yeah, kicked my leg up.
She had heels on. There's no grip on these things. So Latifah, to her credit, just ran in there
and pushed
her up. And all those reactions that you see are very, very spontaneous and real.
She's like, yo, booty out. Like, I don't care.
All right, so I'm going to ask you about the Black movie.
Okay.
So I read somewhere that you have a goal. You want to make the Black movie crossover. Is that fair? Is that right?
It's been my goal since being in the business to make so-called African-American movies, because African-American movie is not a genre. And I kind of don't like the moniker. You should put the movie where it belongs, in the genre that it belongs. Action movie, action comedy,
right.
Romantic comedy, what have you. So
instead,
it's been my
like
goal.
It's like this euphemistic urban.
Urban. Like, I remember they called Best Man Holiday an urban movie, and I'm like, what is urban about 9 people being in a mansion in New Jersey?
Right.
What's urban about that?
Something that
right.
people
right.
don't say. Yeah.
Yeah. So I say, you know, it is my goal to make so-called African American movies mainstream. Every movie I've ever done has had universal themes. It has cultural specificity, but it does have universal themes, whether it's love or loss or career choices or whatever it is.
Challenges of life.
These are people stories. They just happen to be Black. And there's no reason why a movie like Best Man Holiday and now Girls Trip and Barbershop couldn't cross over and be part of the pantheon of just movies, comedies, romantic dramas, whatever you want to call them.
Do you feel that the African-American audience has certain expectations, though, coming into a comedy, like it should have this and it should have that?
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily true. They want
Tiffany
it to be funny. They want to laugh, you
right.
know?
It better be funny.
Yeah, it just better be funny. Like any audience, like you say, okay, this is a comedy, they're sitting back, okay, make me laugh. And you want to make sure those first couple of jokes work. Because if you swing and miss, you are at an increasing deficit.
Right.
I think, yeah, there's a cultural specificity to maybe African-American, what they also called African-American humor. You know, there's a level of pain and oppression that come with that, you know? There's a relatability that black people have where they can find humor in things that aren't as, I don't know, PC or so.
Right. But when you, so when you're making Girls Trip and you're thinking, I want my movie to cross over, do you think differently about it?
I wanted my movies to cross over from day one.
Right.
You know, with Best Man. So with Girls Trip is no different. It's about sisterhood. It's about being strong for your girls. It's about partying. It's about all these things that are very universal. And comedy happens to be one of those things that can bring large audiences together. So I didn't think any differently about it. And maybe it's partly because, you know, I've grown as a filmmaker and as a storyteller. So maybe that's why. Maybe the world is changing also. You know, that you see four black women on a poster and you say, okay, I'll go see that.
It's so crazy because every time a movie breaks out, there's like this,
oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Wow. Right. How did that happen?
And then 10 years go by.
Right. And I think we caught a wave of some comedies not working this summer. An underserved audience, not just African-American,
right,
but specifically female African-American.
Well, and women.
And great. Women that were like, we need something for us. You know, like but women have had Wonder Woman this year, you know, and they have had
about that.
Hidden Figures, you know. Yeah. So here was a comedy that was going to particularly cater to African-American women, but we were trying to go for everybody. And it seems like we do have a diverse audience out there that's going for it. And people are hungry, you know, and so we're able to satiate them, you know, with a movie like Girls Trip.
Yeah, because there hasn't been a female comedy like this ever.
I don't think there has. So now I mean, you've seen, you know, for some people, I'm sure it's like, wow, she just appeared suddenly. But you've been working long and hard, I'm sure, for a long, long time.
Girl, yes.
Yes. So what do you want to do next?
I want to have my own show. I want to produce really funny, inspirational projects, movies, live stage plays. I'm going to get an Oscar. I'm going to get a Tony. I'm going to get an Emmy. I'm going to get a Grammy. I'm going to come out with a comedy album that got music on it. I'm going to get Maxwell the background singer on my comedy album. I'm going to work with Leonardo DiCaprio. He going to try to get me pregnant. I'm going to be like, I can't, Leo. I'm sorry. I can't have babies right now. And then Brad Pitt going to be like, Tiffany, please let me be in your movie. I'm going to be like, Brad, I don't know if you're funny enough. It's going
to
be crazy.
I'm going to have to start that kind of visualizing for myself.
Put on your vision board.
Because it does seem to work, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Universal is like, Girls Trip 2, Girls Trip 2.
The challenge of any sequel, because listen, a lot of these sequels are money grabs.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. Like, I want to make sure if this happens, that we really nail down the script, we make it bigger than the first one, we make the set pieces just as engaging, if not better. So, yeah, I would do it. It's just, you know, and we'll say it on record, I will not go for it if it's not ready.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Essence has a festival in South Africa.
Yes, that's right. I would be down with that.
All of our first time ever going to Africa.
Right, right.
Where we think what happened in Africa, and we get there and be like, why is it all these white people? It'd be crazy.
Yeah, no, listen, you've never really seen African-Americans in Africa, experiencing Africa.
Yeah.
Because we are American. You find out how American you are going to, you know, a country that doesn't necessarily cater to that.
Yes. Okay, we'll look for Girls Trip to South Africa edition.
That's just my pitch.
I like it. I like it.
Tiffany Haddish is one of the stars of Girls Trip, and Malcolm Deeley is the director. Thank you guys both so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for letting us be here today.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna and additional help this week from Christopher Ho. You can subscribe to The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts at kcrw.com/podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.